Thanks to our sponsor today, AW Jenkinson Forest Products. Market leaders in the forestry industry, offering everything from site clearances to collection of woodchip nationwide. Whatever your arb needs, AW Jenkinson has a fleet of over 900 vehicles, including mobile chippers, grinders and walking floor trailers. Check out all of their services at awjenkinson.co.uk. Thanks to our sponsor today, Arbalista, UK's leading business finance broker for the arb industry. If you're looking to finance a new or used machine, get an instant finance estimate from Arbalese. Find hundreds of trusted machines at arbalese.co.uk or source a machine yourself from any dealer or private seller. Arbalese will spread the cost of ownership with competitive, affordable monthly payments at a market-leading low fixed rate. Play online 24/7 at arbalese.co.uk. Arbalese is 100% impartial and 100% ARB.
Welcome to episode 30 of the All Things ARB podcast. You think I've got 30 guests on this weekend? We've come down to Collective Climbing Canopy. Have I said that right, Tim?
Twice I've mentioned it.
We're not that famous yet.
Because I went past today and I messed it up on Instagram because I seen the handle and went, I've just ballsed it all up again. Right, next match.
It is a mouthful. Right.
For anyone who's listening, you need to go to YouTube, you need to watch it because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then there's a couple in the tree. I think this is literally going to be the biggest podcast I've ever done. And I've got no questions whatsoever.
Wing it, that's all we ever do.
Sim texted me at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, said, by the way, you still come down tomorrow. And I went at 6 o'clock in the morning, oh bollocks, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. So you take it away, Sim. How did all of this come together?
Born out of lockdown, really.
COVID, isn't it?
Born in a lockdown because none of the country was allowed to see each other.
Well, we were still allowed to work, weren't we?
We were technically still allowed to work, so we type of used as an excuse to see each other and go out and work.
Yeah. Who's saying nothing? A little boys' club, our little girls stay at home. Yeah, exactly. You got something to tell us, Sim? It's okay, we're all friends here.
Bit of bojo, isn't it?
where did the name come from then?
Canopy Climbing Collective, to be honest with you, I was on site and I was talking about setting up this group and filming the industry. I'd already gone out and done some filming down in down the New Forest for Tree Kit and Juddy and doing some stunt down there. And then Ethan came out with it.
I mean, it was Scott.
Yeah. I mean, we were always
calling
on the show.
It was Scott.
Tell us about that.
Scott! That's right, don't worry.
I
wouldn't let him have it.
I genuinely thought it was Ethan.
Nah, it was me.
And
like,
I really wanted to be the one to name it because in the group chat I was throwing them out. I was literally sat there throwing out names. And then,
what were some of the other ones that you came up with?
We were thinking of doing something about gorilla because we were like obviously weren't allowed to do what we were doing, but we were doing it. So
there's loads of names chucked out, some funny ones, some obscene ones, one you can't say.
So has it like just grown over the last couple of months then? Did it start off with just a couple of years, or was it like stick 11 was in the group chat and see what shit we all get up to?
Technically it was about a year. But it was always this group at the start. We've had a couple of additions, Chaz and Tommy. They joined us on.
And Connor.
But originally, it was always us. Like, it was always a big group. That's why it was a collective, because it was a collective group of lads.
From the same area.
Yeah, and we're all from the same area. We all actually, a lot of us worked for one company growing up.
Yeah, you mentioned said company before.
We're not saying said names.
You shall not be named.
But no, we all started off there. We actually, a lot of us got trained by a guy called Mark Elms, who we can talk about because he was a sick climber.
He was going to be coming today as well.
Yeah, he was.
He trained a lot of us up,
and a lot of our techniques come from him. To be honest, the way the group changed was really Joe coming back from Australia, getting stuck here in a lockdown, come back and was like, right, boys, need to try SRT.
He doesn't miss Oz one bit.
He doesn't talk about going back to Australia one bit.
He really wants to be here.
Not by the chainsaw because we're going to Australia next week.
So obviously you come out, you climb trees, where else do you all get up to? Because you've got all different ropes, all different kits, you're all SRT people. I've never done SRT in my life. I'm the only guy here probably going, yeah, climbing a spider jack still. So I feel massively outnumbered. I'm a northerner down south. I'm not climbing for a couple of years and you're all on SRT stuff. So is everyone climbing SRT day to day as well?
Yeah, that's kind of, it mostly came from Joe, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, I learned from Joe when he came back from Australia. He's sort of like, you know, you've got to try this out. You know, it's revolutionary.
I think I've really come back and seen some of the things you guys were doing. You know, because you were all like, from when I left and when I come back, some of you guys have progressed heaps. You know, you were starting to do all the big jobs and stuff, and also the kind of stuff that you had planned, you know, for the collective, like the stunts that you'd planned and stuff. And I'm thinking, right, we can really speed this up and actually make it work by getting us all on single rope and just kind of, I suppose, dialing in some of our technical skill really and stuff like that really. So yeah, I was able to bring a bit of that back from learning from guys out in Oz. And yeah, helping these guys, you know, really, you know, cause we've all sort of helped each other really, because it's quite good. We can all come together, share skills at every recce, and it's in a casual setting where we can afford to like trial and error stuff. Yeah. We can afford to make mistakes. Yeah, so for that, in that sense, it's been a great sort of learning experience for us all.
We're all different age groups as well. So like, I'm like 32. Some of these lads here are like 22. 23.
I'm
23, and
mate.
So for me, SRT changed my life, because I couldn't be bothered with big trees.
Yeah.
Climbing DRT anymore. Yeah. I always subbed a guy in. Now all I want to do is climb big trees.
Have you noticed when you switch over to SRT, your joints aren't killing you as much?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I can go up and down all day, and yeah, my forearms throb a little bit.
But I'm not your career.
Yeah, definitely.
It used to be like getting the ladder off the van, whereas now it's like, oh yeah, I'll get a line up there. Yeah. 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 You look forward to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We've got a lad in the group that's 50 and changed his life. He says he's got enough. He actually said to me the other day, he goes, oh, do you think I'm too old to go subcontract climbing? He's 50. He's got his own company, but he said he'd rather go subby climbing because of SRT.
Yeah.
I'd say it's more commonplace you see people not climbing SRT from what I've experienced, the companies I've worked for. So many people haven't even opened up their minds or their eyes to SRT yet. So they see you do it for the first time there, and it's almost like you're a wizard or something. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
It's been going around a long time.
Well, there's not many people showing it, because I've had people message me going like, can you show me like your setup and what you recommend? I learned from these guys.
Is it taught in colleges yet? Because it's only Landsret that actually do like a ticket for it. So MPTC still haven't got around to it.
I think it's taught slightly on the CS38, well, it's aerial rescue.
It's like Thompson.
They struck me to teach it, because they don't actually know it themselves.
Like they'll do like a day on it, you know, they'll do like one day on it.
Yeah, I've done the course, It shows you how to access trees, SRT using two lines, how to set up multiple base or canopy ties, and like various redirects and various bits of equipment you can incorporate into like you're working around the canopy and stuff like that.
We learned a lot that day. Me and him did the SRT advanced course with Grand Old Training, and Terry was there, and we had, you know, it was a good laugh, wasn't it?
It was.
We learned a lot. So yeah,
it reaffirms, say, things that you either used or knew about, but it just sort of like refreshes your mind about it. So for someone who hasn't done SRT before, it's a good intro, but for someone who does know SRT, it's a great like almost like refresher on making sure you know stuff, so it's worth a shout.
It opens so many doors of rescue as well when you're SRT.
That's part of the industry. No one really talks about the rescue aspect. We can, if we had to, we can all drop out of a tree, but in one of those random, really unique situations where you've got to go, right, I need to do a little bit more planning on that. What changes have you seen of doing SRT rescue compared to the old conventional ones? Would be a little bit quicker, a little
way
bit easier.
Quicker for start.
Way quicker.
The
we
fact
can
that you
show
can rescue
you
someone from the ground so much easier.
Base time, that's always good.
Yeah, rather than having to get up there, you know, get in the tree and rescue them from the tree. It's all done from the ground now, which is a lot easier.
You don't have to climb the tree. Yeah, just 2 minutes and you can have them down.
Yeah.
And even if you, just because it's just a single line, even if you just put one up there and just leave it up the whole time, you know, it's not getting in the way, it's just one line, you know?
Yeah.
Just there ready for someone just to shoot up. And you can like do a learnable base tie and stuff like that as well, where you can just learn about a tree without even climbing it.
The speed that you can get up there now compared to what you could on double.
Yeah. 80 foot in, 15 seconds, something like that, easy.
Yeah, but tell you, you've only got like a couple of minutes to rescue them. Flight, you've got to bleed out.
Well, look at the videos me and you had done, they're all just over a minute. And that's from a base time with an alpine butterfly, lift your line up, lower them down, and that's just over a minute. Yeah. And they're down on the ground. You can't beat them.
You cannot. Quick. Safety wise. Who's that?
That's Bronxy
up there.
So we keep walking off every now and again. A bit of deadwood.
Right underneath the tree, man. Trees have not been deadwooded that much.
It's more colour from the lawn.
I don't want to add to the paintwork.
Yeah.
How do you find these locations to come to? Do you just drive past and go, yeah, that's a tree with a plant? Wow.
That's how it started.
Some of them have been a bit sus, haven't they?
I would say the birth of the group was we sneak into private estates, we find the tallest, biggest trees, set up the craziest setups and do what we want. And if someone catches us, we just say we're climbing a tree.
I mean, what time did we enter that other... The other location.
Okay, so like if you go back through the videos, there's an old video of our first redwood swing. Mm. We had this plan set up. We'd zoomed the night before. Mm. I literally met the guys. I said to park in one space, not get out of the cars, not talk. I'll pull up in my van, take the signs off the side of the van. Yeah. The guys jump in the back like SAS. I drive down the road. They all jump out. We've got a pinned location of the trees. It's about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. They jumped over the wall for this estate. We went and found these massive redwoods, which I'd located before. And I was like, we'd already set up who was getting on what tree. Like, we'd set up a Zoom chat and everything, so everyone knew what to do. Someone was even designated to cook the food. and then we just swang for sunset.
Yeah, we did actually have the ranger come underneath us, didn't we?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the ranger came through. I mean, I jumped for the floor, head. It was wasn't it, Scott, that spotted it?
Yeah, the light coming through the forest. Yeah. It's like something out of a movie. Yeah.
He came through on this little buggy, didn't he? Someone shouted, "Lights out!"
No, everyone. Johnny shouted, "Lights, lights,
yeah,
lights."
Their lights, yeah, we just watched him go past.
But then the dogs came out as well. We heard the dogs out, and they're getting closer and closer. And I was thinking, oh man, we are going to get set up on here. But they just went off the other way. And then you guys, we stayed till 1 or 2 o'clock. Like, this is a private estate. Yeah. I'm not saying where it was. Yeah. And then it's type of from that, it's gone to me pulling up to an estate front door, knocking on the front door, saying, this is what we do.
Can we please climb
the trees? And he's got to be, fine.
He's got to be a little bit more legitimate now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be, yeah.
Well, notice sort of all the mage is coming out now, all of a sudden. Yeah.
We got caught out on the second location.
Yeah,
we did. We'd been there like a handful of times before and never been bothered, but then this one occasion, we had like planned to do a few things and like straight away people were on us telling us that we couldn't do what we wanted to do.
The same thing happened at the Twin Sisters.
Yeah, the ranger came out. Yeah.
We got stopped at the Twin Sisters by
a tree hugger.
No, it was the ranger.
Can we say that?
Well, if you really like to
tree.
Call
us tree huggers.
And we do hug trees.
And I remember we got asked to take the lines down and I think it was Bryn. Bryn was up there. He
just done the swing.
He was just getting ready to do the swing and then she went, "You're gonna have to stop, take the lines out." And Bryn went, "Okay, I'm just gonna take the line out now."
You've got that on video, haven't you?
She actually said, "That's the craziest setup I've ever seen in my life." But she goes, "By the time I come back from the car park, I'd like to see it gone."
She did appreciate it.
She understood that those trees. I know some people might have said, "Oh, we're climbing the Twin Sisters." You know, they're symbolic. But they're symbolic for different reasons. Some people plant the ashes there, some people have a connection to trees and like to climb them. So for us, they're symbolic because they're some of the tallest redwoods in the country.
We're never damaging your jeopardising trees.
Well, the saying money grows on trees is true for us now.
Especially last month's storm damage.
Did we all have a good storm season?
Yeah, we did.
There's a few smart winches in the group.
I can see a little bit more shiny stuff.
Still going.
You have these ideas, you sit down on Zoom, and then you go off and do. Has it ever gone wrong or anything?
No. Well, you know, we've been really lucky. We're not lucky, but like, I think I'm a bit of a like analyst, and when I see like we have an idea, we literally go through it step by step. To the point where something can't go wrong.
Yeah. We all kind of have our roles as well, don't we?
Like, the only thing everyone that can go wrong is something out of our control. Yeah. You know, like the warden turning up.
But yeah, when it comes to the actual thing that we're doing, everyone has a role, as Joe said. Like, I normally come up with stupid ideas or see some tree that I'm like, well, that's mega, we've got to climb that. And then I'll go, Joe, do you want to implement that?
I've got to try and make it happen somehow.
Somehow, like,
in-house HSE.
He is in-house HSE, because whereas some of us would just put a timber hitch and tension it off something else, off the truck, Joe's there, like, tensioning it around the whole tree, where that was an eye-opener at the start. But yeah, as everyone in the group has different roles, you know. We've got the go-tos that actually get up there and do the stuff.
Guinea pig
that always goes first. The one that always wants to go first, but doesn't get to go first.
On weight testing.
Yeah, weight tester. Working load limit.
Joe's like Mr. HSE type of goes for everything. And the rest of the lads, they're great. What they bring to the table.
The backup dogs.
To be honest, you guys set it all off. Like, I have to go out of tree mode and go into filming mode because someone's got to film it, put it on the channel. So I type of take a complete step back, and then you guys just type of implement my stupid plan.
Sort of set teams in the day, that's
the beauty of it as well, isn't it? It's that crazy idea and seeing it come to life almost. Even in the early stages, like the Zoom call and that initial excitement of everybody.
It's a bit surreal,
coming up with ideas.
Like where we go from saying, "Oh, we should set up a zip line across the woodland. There's a tree over there. I think Joe, have a little look." From that to actually doing what we do.
That's actually getting on the zip line.
All the fire pit in the tree.
When you said we're going to zip line over a woodland, we're all a bit like,
no chance.
Yeah. And we get there and we make it happen. Using drones, there's always a plan.
We installed throw lines across the valley using drones. Shout out to Joe and Phil as well.
Even coming up with like the damper on the zip lines, the distance that we were travelling and just adapting it, and then we added some extra bits of foam, extra little bits to kind of pad it out, and it's all like very organic as well, how it's coming together.
Because we might think of a way to do it on paper, then by the time we've actually got there, we're like, crap, we've got to change some things to suit the weather conditions, to suit the tree. By the time we set it up, right, there's too much sag in the system, we might have to change this, you know, so...
With the amount of kit we've got here, we've definitely got enough to sort it out.
Obviously, none of this kit is set up to do, really, any of the stuff that we do with it, so it is really about, obviously, you know...
Pushing the systems as well, pushing the systems.
Yeah, we do push the systems as far as they can go, really.
And lucky enough, we have, I would say, not sponsors, but companies behind us that want to see these things happen and actually like envision our own ideas happening and help us along the way. So, Toran and Rock Exotic.
I was going to say, we've got Mr. Ambassador over there.
There he is, Mr. Hollywood.
The best UK ambassador.
Is it beer time?
He's having one.
What are you wanting to do next then?
So like this film's it is going to take off best part of the year. We are working with companies with R&D stuff, and we've got end of year projects coming up as well. We've got the ARB show, it's going to be quite big at the end of the year. We've got to be there. There's a few things we're doing. I can't say what's going on there. can't at the moment.
But, well, we want to be involved in the competition, actually.
I think a few of us are going to compete. Yeah.
Should do.
We're not the competition crew that turn up every year and do the same.
A lot of us have never competed. That's why we want to start doing work.
To be honest, they've been doing this all today.
When you see those competitions, it's like it's that same little group time and time again. I'd love to do that.
I'm not saying names, but the same people turn up for the same stuff.
Like first, second, and third, last 10 years, same people.
Yeah. Right. We want to go make some waves.
I was thinking about walking into the throw line comp with a drone, just setting lines with drones and seeing what they say. Just don't even say anything about it. Just turn up with a drone.
I'm setting lines
with a drone. Like, you lot use big shots. Why can't I use a drone?
What would be even more jokes is that we win every single event.
That won't happen.
Oh my god.
I don't think that's
good. Who's the winner?
He said it. You're going to do it.
Has anyone thought about doing the pole climbing as well then?
I think we'd some of us have a good crack at that, I reckon. If we got used to using those toe spikes, I think some of us would be able to get used to that.
We rock climb every week, don't we? We don't just climb, we try to try and work on our bodies as well.
We go rock climbing
once. Well, it's not a spike every day, can't
we? My fingers.
He turned up the other day and I was filming. He's like, I've got any spike, but you need it.
I'm doing a big takedown.
I'm supposed to be filming rigging. And he's like, I've got any spike. So he goes, I'm just rigging big bits wherever I can stand.
That's one way of doing it.
It worked though, didn't it?
Yeah.
It worked.
But yeah, as far as like, going back to like you're saying, where are we going next and stuff, We've not really had like a definite aims each time, have we? Everything's been quite organic about it, which has been nice, really. Like, we've never done anything expecting it to go anywhere or expecting to get anything from it. We've more just done it for the love of doing it, really. That's all what it started with, you know. And everything that's come from it has kind of just, it's been like a bit of a bonus, really, isn't it?
So, a lot of it comes to us. Rather than us going and looking for it, it seems that people, you know, they get in contact with Sim and then that sort of dictates what we're doing next.
I mean, you're sorting out something else at the moment, aren't you? Yeah, there's a possibility of us maybe getting involved with some TV stuff, possibly, like this podcast not good enough for you, you already want to go to the next level.
That's the third one I've seen drive past.
Yeah, we're just sort of pushing the boat out in all directions at the moment. I think within the next sort of year or two, we could see some cool stuff for us. Yeah.
Is anyone allowed to join your club or such, or is like invitation only at the moment?
Do you know what? We get asked this question so much, and I told her from the start it was always just our friendship group. And as the CC goes, we don't need it any bigger. We've got enough brains to type of do any setup we ever want to do. But we're not this exclusive group that go around, oh, we're exclusive and stuff like that. It's like, I'm happy. We've even talked about, we have guests that come join us. They're not guests, they're just friends. That people reach out and say, can you come along? Yeah, come along. We're pretty chilled. I think after California, we are planning just to say, in a month we meet.
It's less that we don't want people to join us, it's more that we don't want to get complicated.
You don't want like 50 people turning up on someone's land.
That's it. It does get
a bit much.
Yeah.
Is there any other places in the UK that you want to just go to?
I think we should at least try and do the biggest tree in the UK.
What is the biggest tree in the UK?
I'm not sure.
It's the Douglas Fir, isn't it?
Scotland would be cool though, wouldn't it? That would be brilliant.
A couple of camper vans.
I've just seen some more stuff around some private estates around here. I haven't seen that. They're massive trees.
You are going to get shot when we
There's definitely some more trees. There's hundreds of trees hidden away in private. This is the whole problem we always go on about, like privatisation of the UK land, like
and the right to roam as well.
We don't have it. Where Europe, Australia, America, everyone has a right to roam. Here, so everyone's just money grabbing pieces of land to themselves. All these rich owners not letting anyone enjoy it, and like we literally left to nothing to climb or even enjoy. as human beings within the UK. Like Julian here, he just goes on a whole different approach, and he sees that, you know, his land is other people's land. If they want to climb it, he'd let us climb it, and that's the way he is, and that's why we're able to do what we do here. But not many people like that in the UK.
No,
these private
we're
estates,
lucky with Julian. Yeah,
these private estates are, they're like, yeah, these are our trees. No one, and they just sit there and rot. They don't even manage them.
Does no one ever freak out when you start jumping out of the trees with smoke grenades attached to your feet? Because that's the first video I saw, and I went, okay, industry's changed a little bit.
That was definitely more of the cinematic style stuff. We haven't really done much smoke grenade stuff recently, and we definitely won't be doing it in certain locations. But it was definitely, what was it? Is it
eye catching, isn't it?
Yeah, that's eye catching.
It looks cool. Noticed.
It does look cool. Yeah. It does look cool.
And we did get noticed.
Yeah. Was the idea to always film this?
Yeah. So from the start, it was always, I wanted to start. I think the whole idea started because there was just nothing good on YouTube if you Google tree surgery. It was just saying boring, like, 3-minute videos.
This is how you tie a knot. Yeah. This is how you use it.
There's nothing cinematic, nothing really interesting.
You had things like August Honecke.
You had the day-to-day.
And they were kind of like more sort of long, structured videos that showed you like the process of a job, but nothing with like sort of the B-roll style of stuff that you're interested in doing. But that we put out, you know, from the beginning, that is like, you know, like a big assault on your senses.
But that's changed, hasn't it, a little bit, like the filming
side, the social media side of things. That's what people want to see. Sim's delivered that.
The editing style's changed.
Timing to bring all that sort of stuff through.
We always rep climbed before this though, didn't we? Like, you know, coming out of college, like, me and Scott would always just go rep climb on the weekends and stuff. So yeah, we'd always be doing that before, but it was just nice to be able to all come together as well and film it at the same
time. I think personally as a group, when we're old and we hit 50, I think we're gonna... Did I just hear that right?
His harness is upside down.
His harness is upside down.
And we're the CCC.
My reading ain't so good, but I know that doesn't say butterfly. Never went butterfly backwards.
So anyway, you're going to talk about the
experience.
Are you going
to cut that bit out?
Can I
day
rate
up? Don't worry, we're well trained. Just going to
be more of a subby.
That's what you get for 250
days. Should have been 255.
No, what I was saying, I think when we're all 50, we're going to look back and go, I'm glad we didn't say no to any of the opportunities that we've had, because, you know, they don't come often. And some of the stuff that we've done is pretty crazy, and what we're doing, I'm just a standard tree surgeon, just standard Joe Blogs, but like, the opportunities we've had within the group, it's been crazy, isn't it? It's taken us to places that we would never thought we'd go being on Petzl's, doing stuff with Petzl, Arb Association, you name the companies we've been doing stuff with. Whether they don't make it known and they just post it privately,
I can say personally from like a transition phase, going in, becoming a subby climber, being part of the Canopy Climbing Collective has really helped me have a bit of a footprint within the social media aspect of the Arb world, which has led to leads of getting work from that.
Yeah. Mm. You do need to have a bit of a personal brand identity, because we've all got the vans up there, they're all stickered up and everything. But when you look at the people who work for the business, do they need to have a personal identity themselves?
Absolutely. I think massively so. I think building your personal brand is one of the biggest things in this industry. Because if you take care of what you do, it's like, oh yeah, Connor the groundy. But if you know that Connor the groundy is like the best groundy that you can be and always clean up after himself, it's about building your personal business almost. You are a business yourself.
If you're a subcontractor.
If you're a subby, you are a business yourself. So you need to make sure that everybody that you're working for, you're working to the standards of your business, and you make sure that you are the highest standards that you can be. You set your own standards.
Yeah.
And then that anybody that you work for wants to have you in again because they know that, oh, this guy actually, works hard, works to good standards. So I think
it's also like down to your character and your composure as well, isn't it? Because so many people will more likely get you in based on how well you get along with the guys as well, and how well you get along with them. Sometimes more so than your skill as well.
That's like somebody we know as well. It's like somebody
one of our friends used to dabbled in it a little bit, and he got work a lot from Pete and stuff, just because of who he was, because the character that he was. He wasn't the best tree surgeon at all. Wasn't the best grounder.
Liked having him on site.
You know, but they loved having him on site because of the character that he was. He brought, you know, he could
the morale, know, yeah, the morale.
Literally,
yeah.
He could sell water to a, you know, a blooming. So ice to an Alaskan. You're just saying that, no, I didn't do the same well as you. So ice to an Alaskan.
Sticks to cotton trees. Well, Shane, thank you very much for having me down, mate. It's been absolutely fantastic to meet you all. I can only remember two people's names out of everything, like Leon and Sim, and that's about it. But, yeah. Cheers, lads. Look forward to
having us. Cheers. 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 Cheers.